A warm welcome to the FactSet Insight Podcast. That's Dan Nathan. I'm Guy Adami. We're not joined by, we are joining the great John Butters. He of FactSet, the senior earnings analyst at FactSet and somebody we've admired for a great deal. Hello, John.
Hello, Guy and Dan. And again, let me say thank you guys so much for hosting. We always appreciate when you join us in our podcast, and it's always great to talk to you guys this time of year and for everything you do with FactSet outside of this podcast, all the great other things, other ways you help us in other capacities. So thank you again for hosting, and let's go Patriots. So.
Yeah, Patriots this weekend, getting 4.5, as Dan mentioned. I think we're not going to get into the gambling on this podcast, but as we say in the business, there are live dogs. So thank you, John. As Dan knows this, I know this, long before we were doing work with you, we were reading your work, and it's been our honor to be partnered up with FactSet. They've been an amazing, amazing partner with us. So thank you. So let's get into it, John, because I think you brought 5 or 6 slides, and I think they're all very topical, obviously, for what's been going on. So walk us through.
Yeah, so let's start with the setup coming into this earnings season. So if we go back to September 30th at the start of the fourth quarter, analysts were looking for about 7.2% growth for the S&P 500. And we actually saw analysts increase estimates during the quarter, which is a rarity. Usually the numbers come down. And we saw a lot of positive guidance, particularly from companies in the tech sector. And as a result, we actually, at the end of the quarter, had a higher growth rate at 8.3%. Now, we started earnings season a few weeks ago. Since then, that growth rate's jumped up to 12.1%, again, on a strong performance versus expectations. So far, we're about 40% of the way through the earnings season. 78% of the companies have beat earnings estimates. That's in line with the 5-year average, slightly above the 10-year average of 76%. In aggregate, those companies have beat estimates by just under 9%, again, above the 5-year average of 7.7%, above the 10-year average of 7%. And as a result, we've seen this pretty sharp increase up to 12% today. And if we finish here, this will be the 5th straight quarter of double-digit growth for the index, something we haven't seen since 2018. So a very strong start to this earnings season.
Yeah. So, John, you know, we track your work obviously very closely. And, you know, one of the themes I think over the last couple of years is that when we've come into a new year, expectations for low teens earnings growth is something that if you are a glass half empty person, you say, well, they're not going to do that because of this, that, or whatever. And last year, especially with tariffs and that sort of thing. So here we are, and your work is showing this, you know. And what I find most interesting, because, you know, we're a month into the year, maybe a little more, and the S&P is up, you know, 0.5% or something like that. It's been in a very tight range. But you're just telling us that over the course of the quarter, estimates had actually come up. And that's not something you usually see. Is there any sense of like how that usually means for, let's say, the rest of the year or so? Like, is it front end loaded a little bit? I'm just curious how you think about that.
So these revisions we're talking about are obviously for the fourth quarter coming in, but we did see numbers come up as well for 2026. So certainly something we'll keep an eye on during this earnings season. And over the last month, those numbers have come up as well. And I think we'll talk more about the 2026 expectations a little bit later in the podcast. But we have certainly seen those numbers come up as well for all of 2026 over the last few weeks.
Let's go to the sectors, because this is going to tell a bit of a story. Well, it's going to tell a lot of the story as to really what's going on and why that growth rate is what it is, John.
Yeah, so overall, we got 8 of the 11 sectors reporting earnings growth for the quarter, 3 of those reporting double-digit growth. So the growth is really being led by technology, industrials, and communication services. So really no surprise with 2 of those 3 sectors there, as we've talked about them before. So in technology, 30% growth, really broad-based growth across the sector. All six industries are reporting growth, 5 are reporting double-digit growth, led by semiconductors, led by companies such as NVIDIA. So really strong growth there. Not a surprise. It's something we've seen the last few quarters. The industrial sector is reporting the second highest growth at 26%. Now, here's a situation where we're really one company, Boeing, is driving that growth. So Boeing reported a large positive surprise and a large year-over-year increase, but a lot of the earnings beat for Boeing was really due to a one-time gain. You take that out, Boeing's results really weren't as strong. And so if you take Boeing away from the industrial sector, that 26% growth drops down to a slight decline. So Unlike tech, where you're seeing really broad-based growth, you know, the headline number for the industrials, I don't think is really indicative of the overall performance within the sector. About 6 of the industries reporting growth, 6 of the industries reporting a decline. So something to keep in mind looking at industrials. And then communication services, another sector we've talked about these last few quarters, 10% growth, really being led by Alphabet. Meta Platforms had a big surprise in that sector as well. So those are your 3 leaders in terms of earnings growth. And really the on the decliner side, you get the healthcare sector down 2%. United Health Group is really the drag on that sector. They reported a pretty significant year-over-year decline. And they're sort of the opposite story of industrials, right? Outside of United Health Group, if you take them out, that sector reporting 4 to 5% growth. Four of the five industries are reporting growth there. United Health is really the drag on that sector, where Boeing is really the boost in the industrial sector. So that's sort of the layout we're seeing with the sectors at this point in time.
You know, I look at this and, okay, the S&P is 12%. We just had that slide. Okay, I get it. That's, by the way, robust. But then you look at the breakdown. As I said, this is going to tell the story. You just said it. I mean, most of the sectors here, and when I say most, are below the historical norms for earnings growth. Communication services, probably a couple ticks higher than the norm, but you know, you go materials, you go financials and say, this is sort of in line, then obviously sort of falls off a cliff. And as you just mentioned, industrials, you back out Boeing, and it's an entirely different story. So Dan, you know, I look at this, and as much as people say there's a broadening out, just through this lens, there's not all that much broadening out going on, Dan.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, one of the things, you know, John, we obviously stare at our FactSet machines all day long, and we have, you know, the tickers set up by sectors, and we kind of look at it as a heat map. And I'm not saying on a day-to-day basis, but we're trying to do a little pattern recognition. And one of the things that has actually struck us, though, is that despite Infotech doing, you know, the things that your work just, we are seeing, though, near-term enthusiasm about some of the, I think it's probably the underpinnings of some of those industrial names in the transports. And we've seen a lot of volatility in commodities and currencies and the like. And we haven't seen a lot of volatility in the equity markets, but it's probably more of a situation where you digest Q4, you take what you hear about Q1, and you can extrapolate to the balance of the year. But which leads me actually to your next slide about international exposure. And what's interesting to me about this also is that think of the year that we just had going back to early April, when we had the rollout of the tariffs and we had reciprocal tariffs and we had lots of threats of other tariffs. And you know, we had a lot of currency volatility. We had currency in the bond, volatility in the bond market and the like here. So this is one to me that really sticks out, but it still comes back to a name in the Mag 7, as it seems like we have just become accustomed to over the last couple of years or so.
Yeah. So Dan, I know we've talked about currency in the past, but we wanted to highlight something that might show the, how the impact of currency is affecting earnings. So we like to look at, the earnings growth for those companies that have more than 50% of their revenues generated outside the U.S. versus those that generate more than 50% in the U.S. And you can see there's quite a striking comparison here. For those companies with more international exposure, they're reporting 17.2% growth for the quarter. Those with more domestic exposure are reporting 9%. And this sort of continues with our tech story. A lot of that higher growth for international companies is really driven by the tech sector. NVIDIA is the top contributor there. But we have noted, on an anecdotal basis, we've looked at a number of companies in their earnings releases and their earnings calls, and they're certainly talking about some positive impact from currency, some tailwind, either that they saw in the current quarter or they're expecting in future quarters. So I think as of right now, for quite a few companies, currency is actually a positive impact, where a lot of times we see it as a negative impact. And again, we look at the overall numbers, you're seeing those companies with more international exposure doing much better this quarter from an earnings growth perspective.
Yeah, I love this slide, John. And we actually, Dan and I talked about it on Market Call. And I'll sort of echo what I said, but I'll build upon it a little bit. You know, this speaks to a weaker U.S. dollar and companies, again, that have exposure more internationally than domestically. I mean, they're winning as the dollar continues to weaken. And then conversely, if your exposure is predominant here in the United States, that's proving to be a bit of a headwind. Now, at a certain point, in my opinion, I'm not asking you to opine on this, but that weaker dollar is going to no longer be necessarily the tailwind that it's created. And it's going to be a headwind for a lot of different reasons, but we're not there yet. So the slide that you brought us speaks to exactly that, what's been going on in the dollar. Let's take a look at profit margins, because this is another fun one that we talked about. I think Dan and I actually talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago, but let's talk about it now. A little more data has come your way.
Yeah, it's surprising. Net profit margins continue to improve for the S&P 500. So as of today, the blended net profit margin, combining the actual results and the estimates for those not to report, is 13.2%. If we finish there, that's the highest net profit margin recorded since we've been tracking this data going back to 2009. It's also the eighth consecutive quarter over quarter increase in the net profit margin. So, I'm sure we can talk about a number of factors that have contributed to that. Again, I hate to sound like a broken record. Tech sector is a big contributor to that. If you look at the last two quarters, net profit margins for the tech sector have seen quite a bit of a jump compared to the previous few quarters. You know, we've seen energy prices come down, which obviously hurts earnings in the energy sector, as we showed in one of the previous slides. But lower energy costs are also, you know, lower costs for a number of other companies involved in transporting goods and production and so forth. So I think a number of factors involved in this. But again, the headline number tells you 13.2%, one of the highest numbers we've, you know, the highest number we've seen going back at least 15 years.
Yeah. And, you know, the profit margin is one where I think a lot of folks, a lot of investors, you know, maybe got offsides a little bit after the tariff, you know, kerfuffle, you know, in April, May, because if you think about higher tariffs, higher input costs, what is that going to weigh on, right? It's going to weigh on margins. But then if you think about technology, which you just mentioned is a big contributor of this, they were somewhat insulated, right, to some degree from the tariffs. And I think that's kind of the story. And then if you think about the market, which actually hasn't had too many problems since going back to that April, May period, a lot of it had to do with the strength that we've seen in tech stocks, and because of the insulation possibly from some of the worries there in other sectors that you have, you know, that you're looking at. I mean, a lot of C-levels, sweet, they had to be a bit cautious, right, about how to allocate capital and the like there. So that's something that, you know, you see just tech kind of doing a number there. But overall, I mean, you see that sort of, you know, progressive sort of margin, you know, like, I mean, that's great for the market. And I guess it supports the valuation where it's trading to some degree.
I'll jump in here real quick. You know, a lot of times, and we've talked about this, Dan, peak margins tend to be potentially peak market. And as we sort of continue to climb this ladder in margins, I think more and more people are going to start to say, let's look back historically and see what happens in the aftermath of this. So that's something to watch. Let's take a look at the next slide, because it cites companies and what they are talking about.
Yeah, we just want to look, we take a look from time to time at the different terms that are coming up in the earnings calls. And we wanted to do a comparison to what we saw back in the Q1 earnings season back in April, May, just to see how things have changed just over the last 9 months or so. And so what's really interesting is if you look at, again, Dan, we talk about, and Guy, the concern about tariffs and uncertainty, you know, back in the first quarter, 91% of companies are talking about tariffs on their earnings calls. 84% of companies talked about uncertainty. Mm-hmm. You bring those numbers today, it's down to 51%. So still a high number, but much lower on tariffs than where it was back a few, you know, 9 months ago. Same thing with uncertainty. Only 38% of companies so far mentioned uncertainty. Again, you know, still on the high side, but much lower than we were back during the first quarter earnings season. Recession, the same thing. Only 5% of companies mentioning recession versus 25% 9 months ago. And the other one that jumps out on the other side, a much larger percentage of companies talking about AI. So far, 70% of companies talking about AI on earnings calls to date. That's versus just 44% back in the first quarter. So just interesting to see how the topics have shifted over the last 9 months on what companies are discussing on their earnings calls.
Yeah. And it's also the driver, if you think about it, of the stock market gains over the last 6 to 9 months, as, you know, companies started talking less about tariffs and more about AI. You've seen this sort of performance that, it, you know, at some point it just feels like, you know, they can do no wrong, the market in general here, despite the rotation that we're seeing out of the AI related names. All right. When we started out before, you said we're going to take a look at 2026, right? So we are what, 2/3 maybe through S&P earnings at this point. And, you know, a lot of companies on that Q1 will give at least some commentary about the year that they're in, clearly the quarter that they're in. Like, help us think about, I know that we go back, it seems like the Mag 7, despite there's a lot of dispersion that's played out over the last, call it 6 to 9 months in the Mag 7, we've also seen some really interesting things out of the 493.
Yeah, so I think one of the themes we've talked about really, it was partly this year and even more so for 2026 is the, you know, the broadening out of the earnings growth. So we wanted to highlight that. So if we look at overall S&P 500 earnings growth for 2026, the expectations for just a little over 14% growth. And if we break that down, the Magnificent Seven companies are expected to do about 23% growth. The other 493 expected to do 11.5% growth. So both groups expected to do double-digit growth in 2026. And we just wanted to highlight how the expectations have changed a little bit since the start of the earnings season. And really for the Magnificent Seven, the expectations have actually come up just very slightly, but again, right around the same number, 23%. And just a little bit of a dip for the other 493 companies. They were looking for about 12.5% back on December 31st, 11.5% today. We have seen some down, a little bit of downward revisions in energy and healthcare, which is why those other companies have seen a little bit of dip. But I think the overall picture is, again, there's still an expectation of double-digit growth overall for both sets of companies. So You know, obviously we're going to continue to keep an eye on the guidance, the earnings revisions overall, and see how this ends up the rest of the earnings season. As we said, we're about just under halfway through the earnings season, so we got another half to go, and we'll see how these numbers shake out once we're through the entire earnings season.
You know, I look at this, John, and I'll say, you know, this is probably a slide if I were to go back a year or so, and it's going to look probably hauntingly similar. And I would have said back then that it's unsustainable in terms of how long this outperformance can last vis-a-vis the sort of historical market performance of the other 493. But here we are in the first, you know, here we are at the end of basically last year in this new year, and we're seeing the same thing. So I'm not asking again to opine on this, but, you know, my question continues to be, how long is this feasible? How long does this continue? And before we get out of here, if we can go back to the last slide real quick, talking about the things that people were citing. And I think for me, this is important. As much as things change, the one constant is the concern but people citing inflation basically remain the same, which suggests to me that inflation is still a problem, Dan. So there you go.
Yeah, throw uncertainty in there too, you know? And so again, which surprises us, John, a little bit when you see, you know, kind of peak profit margin, or you see the sort of profit margin growth, the consecutive that you've seen again. So again, despite the uncertainty, despite, you know, the inflationary discussions and the like, it seems like the AI discussions are winning that battle right now. So listen, John, as guys started this podcast, your podcast, we really appreciate you having us here. We love your work, and you almost serve as a sort of Sherpa for us throughout earnings season. So again, people know where to find the Earnings Insight blog, and we really appreciate it. So thanks so much, John, for having us.
John, you are the Tenzing Norgay of data.
I don't know what that is, but I'll take it as a compliment. So.
It is the highest compliment one could pay. Great. Through the lens of a Sherpa.
Right. Well, again, thank you, Guy. Thank you, Dan, for hosting this. Always appreciate having you guys on our podcast and hosting. So thank you, and looking forward to being back on your podcast for the next earnings season.
Thanks for joining us on the FactSet Insight podcast. That's Dan Nathan. Of course, that's John Butters. I'm Guy Adami. Hope to see you all soon.